We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
Most of us know all too well the phrase, and maybe you've said these words, and they are humorous. I mean, we've said it. Hurry up! You ever said hurry up? Hurry up, I'm in a hurry. Come on, let's go, we'll be late. What's taking so long? How much longer? Are we there? Yes. Are we there yet? What's the hold up? Could you be any slower? I'm growing a beard. I'm going to get another birthday. Come on, slowpoke. Get a move on. I mean, there's so many words and phrases that we use to indicate that we are very, very impatient people. In fact, you and I are far more impatient than we care to admit or even realize. And as I've dived deeper and deeper into this, there's many things I can't even really get into tonight. I've just come to the conclusion that most of us are far more impatient than we want to admit. We actually think, oh, I'm a pretty patient person. But have you noticed how quickly your patience or the lack thereof is put to the test on a daily basis? Look, for most people, it doesn't take much for us to have our impatience exposed. And the fastest way to have your impatience revealed is to have to wait for something or to wait on someone. We live in an age of impatience. We live in an age of microwave. Everything is in an instant. Instant food, instant gratification, instant loans, you name it, we'll try to get it for you in a jiffy, we'll make it happen. They even have the 10-minute oil change, right? I always worry about those guys, I got to be honest with you. And if you can't get what you're wanting, here's America, we have a pill for you. We have a pill for you. Now, have you noticed that there is a lot of pills being given out today in our country? Now, this is interesting. I did a 10-year kind of statistical study, went back and looked, and here's the thing that blew me away. Last year, in America, 4 billion prescriptions were filled in the United States. It's more than any other country, almost twice over. Now, in America, it seems that we have a pill for just about everything, but do you know that there is no pill for common sense? Amen. How many of you know some people that need the pill of common sense? And there's no pill for patience. Wouldn't it be great if there was? Every one of you would be on the prescription. Including your pastor. I want you to write this down. There's not a pill for patience. There's not. Patience is something that only the Spirit of God produces in you and through you. Only the Spirit of God. You cannot take a pill and have this happen. You see, you need patience. You need patience with God and in turn with people. And we're going to see how impatience is really, and you need to hear this now, our irritation. Your impatience, my impatience, is my irritation with God's plan and God's schedule and God's timing. It will be a glorious and victorious day in our life when we realize that God's not in a hurry. And some of us wish that he was. That God is not on our schedule. That God operates outside of time as we know it for his glory and for his purpose. And that's very, very difficult for you and I to wrap our minds around that. Because we think most of the time, and we don't want to admit this, but that we actually know better than God. This is why we come to him with our plans and say, now here, bless this. This is awesome. And when God doesn't do that, we think, well, what happened? I want you to see James chapter 5. And in James 5, we find verses around about verse 7. If you were to do a word search, you'll find that the word patient shows up here in this spot pretty much more than anywhere else in the Bible by way of its continued mention, okay? So notice in James 5, 7, it says, be patient, therefore, brethren, be patient. Unto the coming of the Lord, behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it. You see that? Do you see that? Long patience for it. Until he receive the early and the latter rain. We're going to talk about that. Be you also patient. There it is again. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and what's it say? There's our word again, verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. I don't like that part. Anybody with me on that? Okay. You've heard, he says it here, I love the way James writes this. You've heard of the patience of Job, right? As if like, oh yeah, I got to go there, right? The ultimate example here. But here's the beauty of the text. And we've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and he is of tender mercy. As we move through the section here, I think we find the word patience in this passage used more pointedly than almost anywhere else in the Bible. And the word for patience, if you're taking notes tonight, in Galatians 5, you should write this down, or you can just underline it in your Bible. It's the word long-suffering. It's two words pushed together, long-suffering. Now, we need to at least get a sense of the word before we dive into it, because I think a lot of us think we know what the word patience means. And you know the old adage, patience is a virtue, right? And seldom found in women, never found in men, right? Ladies, that was your one and only shot tonight, and you blew it, all right? All of us in here, and while I'm not going to preach on anger, impatience and anger are bedfellows. They're connected. And we're going to talk a little bit about anger, but all of us have a temper, every one of us. You're like, no, I don't. Well, give me about 10 minutes with you, and I could show you that you had one. You might not think you do, but it does reveal itself. It shows up, and it comes to the surface, and it most often shows up in the form of impatience. We tend to think of a temper. If somebody says, well, he has a temper or she has a temper, they have a very hot temper, we tend to think of them as someone who's raising their voice or someone who's punching holes in the wall or shouting or cussing or doing something overtly violent, and we think, oh, they have a temper, and so they're to be avoided. Watch out. But impatience, which is really a form of anger at God, more on this in a minute, it manifests itself in various forms toward people. People are situations that are preventing us from getting what we want. Have you ever been in the store and you're trying to get past the dear, sweet, elderly lady with the cart? And you... Can I get a witness, somebody? Okay. You get to the checkout, and the poor old boy's up there, and he goes, no, I can't find my wallet. Where is it? Oh, and he can't get the card in the reader, and he can't remember his PIN code. And you got one thing, and he's got, you know, 10 things, and he starts commenting on the checkout lady and her nice hair, and you're like, it's not a time for conversation right now. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When you want your child so desperately to understand something and you've told them again and again and again and again and again and again and they're still not getting it. And it's just frustrating and you think, oh, fine, fine, fine. When you're having a marital moment and it's just, I can't believe we're here again. Why? Just frustrated. Just think about all of the things that happen. And here's what I've discovered about impatience. We tend to look at the person. We look at that person, whoever it is, if it's the dear sweet lady, if it's the man at the checkout, if it's our child, if it's a neighbor, if it's somebody we have to, it doesn't matter. Just whoever that person is, you look at them as an annoyance because they've messed with your schedule. Because as the song says, we're in such a hurry. See, for me, my days and weeks and months are planned out. If you were to look at my calendar, until I go on sabbatical, it is slammed to the walls with stuff, literally. And so when somebody says, oh, now we have this, or hey, so-and-so's in the front and they want to know if they can speak to the pastor for a minute, I don't inside go, what a joyful moment and an opportunity for me to go out and connect with someone. I don't do that. In my heart, I think, oy. I'm trying to study, Lord, for Sunday or for Wednesday, or I have a session, or I'm working on a project, or I have a meeting, and they just, Pastor, they just want 5 minutes of your time. Now, that's a lie. That's a lie. Ain't nobody want 5 minutes of the pastor's time. That's not true. It's a heart issue. You get annoyed with people very quickly because instead of looking at that person as maybe a divine interruption into your day that you might be able to speak with them or show grace to them or share the gospel with them, you just get impatient because we live by the clock, don't we? We live by the time. We live by the schedule. And I know this is true for me, so I think it's true for some of you in here that we miss moments to show Christ because we are so self-consumed. We miss moments to show Christ. Whether it's an issue with our children that we need to just show them Christ, whether it's a moment with our spouse, whether it's a minute with our neighbor, whether it's someone in church, or we miss that. We miss that moment. Now, a big, long definition is about to come onto the screen that you're not going to have room to write unless you've got another notepad, all right? But I want you to see it because this was the best definition of the word long-suffering that I could find. You might find a better one, then you can write that down too, okay? So here it is. Here's the best definition of long-suffering that I could find. The ability to endure for a long time whatever opposition and suffering may come your way, and to show perseverance without wanting retaliation or revenge. It is the ability to put up with the weakness and faults of others, including other believers, and to show forbearance toward them without getting quickly irritated or angry enough to want to fight back. I think it's pretty thorough, don't you? This is long-suffering. Have you guys seen what's been going on in Hawaii? Have you seen the destruction and the devastation that has taken place there? What's interesting about a volcano is everybody's fascinated by the volcano. The problem isn't necessarily the eruption of the volcano. Please listen to me. It's the lava that's flowing underneath. It's the hot, molten rock that, as you can see in the picture, has destroyed hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of homes and lives. And when you and I erupt with impatience, it's just showing the anger that's underneath. That's all that's happening. The volcanic eruption is showing the hot, molten bed of anger that's bubbling through you. Now, there's various types of anger, and I'm not going to talk about that, but the explosion of this and the flow of lava is the issue. Impatience, the unmet or unrealistic expectations that we put on people, the exploding that happens. The word long-suffering in the Old English means this, long fuse. Long fuse. I want to talk for a minute, because once I get to the outline, it's going to be quick, says the preacher. I want to talk for a minute about what I call impatient eruptions. Impatient eruptions. And there's four areas. None of this is on the screen. None of this will come on the screen. But you might want to remember this tonight, either by taking notes or maybe go back online, but I want to help us tonight. Impatient eruptions. They come from four areas of our life. I'm going to just give you the four areas so you can write them down, then I'm going to unpack them quickly. The first one is the hand. Impatient eruptions from the hand. Impatient eruptions from the tongue. Impatient eruptions from the heart. And impatient eruptions from the will. Okay? So, impatient eruptions from the hand, the tongue, the heart, the will. Now, when we talk about impatient eruptions from the hand, when you strike somebody. Now, the little dear sweet lady in the store, you're not going to just knock her over. Can I get an amen? You might be thinking it, but don't do it, okay? Amen? You know, you might be that little old lady in the store one day. Or that little old man. So when you strike out, when you violently erupt, we tend to use hands. The tongue. The tongue is when you speak gossip, when you complain, when you criticize, when you cut down, when you're sarcastic, when you're negative. This is impatient eruptions of the tongue. Impatient eruptions of the heart are when you stew and brood over something. You don't say anything, but you might roll your eyes. And inside, you're just stewing away. You know what's happening? You just cranked up the heat on your lava. And God help the people around you when the volcano goes off. And then impatient eruptions in the will. Now, this is when you decide that waiting on God is no longer worth it, and you have another plan, and so you seek another alternative route. You cut a corner and do what you want to do anyway, because your will has said, I will no longer wait. I'm going to act on this. And I have some examples for us in a minute. So I want us to remember, and I say this every week, that the fruit of the Spirit needs to be seen through the lens of relationships. Our patience is often put to the test, the greatest test, not just in trials, but toward people. People we know and love, and the people we don't know, and the people that we need to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, we need to be a patient people, not only for the glory of God, but for the sake of the gospel, and so that healthy relationships can begin to be developed. You need patience with people. You have to have it. I have to have it. You have to understand this. You have to have the patience with people you know, with people you don't know, with people you love, with people you want to give the gospel to. You need the fruit of patience. And so what I've done is I've simplified this outline and broke it down to the simplest measures that I could, because I know this is how many of you just say, yes, I struggle with patience? Can I see your hands? Says, that's a hard one, Pastor. It's tough. It's tough for all of us. And so just some simple words to kind of help with the flow of the text, help us see how patience can be better understood, how we can, in the end, cultivate patience, help get cured of our impatience. Wouldn't that be great? Get cured. Or at least make progression, all for making progression in patience. Amen? Amen. All right, so let's start with number one. Let's look at an example. All right, there's an example, and there's several examples, but I think it's important that before we go any further, James gives us an example to look to patience. But before we do that, we kind of have to hit pause and remember, and if you don't get this, you won't get the rest of the sermon, just to be very frank with you. If you don't get what I'm about to say now and what I'm about to lay down, nothing else will matter. And that is this. God is very patient toward us. If you don't get that, you will never become a patient person. You will always have another measuring stick for your patience instead of God's. The first time we sort of see this pop out in the Bible is in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, where Moses was wanting to see God, and God's like, look, you can't see me, you'll die, and you know the story. And he says, you hide in the cleft of the rock, and I'll slip past you, and I can't unpack all of that. But here's what happened, and it says this, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, everybody say the next word, and abundant in goodness and truth. Now, so many other texts in the Bible hang on this one. Let me give you several. Psalm 103. The Lord is merciful and gracious. And all of God's people said, amen. Slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. And he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high is the heaven above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Amen. I cut out a lot because there's so many, but let me give you one to the end of the Old Testament, Micah 7:18 and 19. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in what? In mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. And all of God's people said, See, ultimately, if you keep following this, if I was to keep showing you verse after verse after verse, if you were to keep following this, let me tell you where all of this ends up. Let me tell you where all of this lands. All of this comes to the cross. It ends at Jesus, who it says in Isaiah, bore our sins. God's patience with sin intersected on the cross of justice where his wrath was poured out. And God has extended to all of us his pardon, his grace, and his mercy. And we continue to see God's patience put to the test, don't we? Constantly. And what is really clear is this subpoint, which is this, that God's patience has been revealed. The truest cost of God's patience leads us to Jesus. Look how Jesus showed patience, not just to the people who rejected him, but even to his own disciples who walked with him. The supreme patience of Jesus is seen as he suffered for sin and he did not retaliate. That cuts against the grain of every one of us in here. Because the minute we are wronged, we want to retaliate. We want to fix it. We want to come back. And by the way, here is a secret. You know you're growing in patience when you don't have to say anything or do anything, and you learn to deal with people and problems in light of the suffering of Jesus. This is why when I do a wedding ceremony, and almost all of the pastors now, we do what's called a cross ceremony at the service where we have them make a cross, and we talk about how in marriage you'll have to learn to face the cross. And understand that your spouse is imperfect and they're going to try your patience. Amen, married people? Yeah. It's going to happen. And God's patience has been revealed to us. But notice, not just revealed, but patience received. Now, understand that because we're believers, we have the ability to be like Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you actually think that you have the ability to be like Jesus? Well, the truth is we do because Christ is in us. We have the Spirit of God. Now, how many of you know that's a struggle every day? Amen. Did you have a hard time today being like Jesus? My hand's going up. And the reason is because we want what we want. And the reason that we can be like Jesus is because we have the Holy Spirit and we can be filled. And we can learn what it means to live and love in patience toward people and have a right perspective toward problems. If we're in Christ, then we display the character of God, and God is patient. And when we are patient with other people, we're being like Jesus. This week, as I was working through this, and even tonight, I had to tell the Lord, thank you so much for your patience with me. Have you thought about that lately? How patient God is with you? How frustrated you get at people, your children, your spouse, a situation, a problem, the car in front of you, the guy that doesn't pull away at the light fast enough. How quickly you get impatient, and God's so patient with you. Right? This is the example. And like the example in our text, James gives us the farmer, the prophets, and a fellow by the name of Job. You guys know Job? Your worst day will never compare to his. Ever. You're like, I'm having a bad day. Go to Job, right? Now, all of these are examples of what we would call number two, endurance. Endurance. Now, this is the practical outworking of patience. We've seen what the word means, how it fleshes itself out. We've seen the example of God's patience and where it all comes down to and how patience is produced in us. But this is the practical outworking. This is how it looks and feels. The acid test of if you're patient is revealed not through your knowledge of the word. It's not about how smart you are in the Bible or what the Bible means or the definition. That's not going to prove how patient you are. But through the outworking of the word, meaning you're applying the word of God to your situation, which is why I've titled this next subpoint, Patience Required.
patience required. Now you look at the farmer in the text. He says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman. This is an example of a farmer. This is an agricultural example that everyone reading this would understand and know. The farmer, the husbandman, the one who cares for the vineyard, the one who cares for the field, he waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Now, he has to see that. You guys see this in the text? He's waiting, and he has long what? Long suffering, long patience, until he receives, notice in your Bible, please, two things, early and latter rain. He has to wait for rain. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can't make it rain. You can't. You can't produce rain. And the farmer knows that. He can't produce it. And the temptation for the farmer, especially in Palestine, was to plant before the autumn rains, which readies the ground, and then to harvest before the spring rains, which readies the crop. And so the farmer would be, I don't know if it's going to rain. We should go ahead and plant. And I got to wait. And I got to wait on the timing. And I got to wait on the rain. And then once he's planted, he's got to wait again. Because if he harvests too soon, the crop will be puny and he won't get much in. He's got to wait because the rain actually swells the crop and makes it large. And so he's got this constant angst of waiting. And I mean, if you know anything about agriculture, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know the feeling of having to wait and you can't do anything about it. How many of you have a situation where you have to wait and you can't do anything about it? Can I see your hands? Yes. We all understand this, don't we, church? We all understand this. And the danger is for the farmer to act prematurely, which is never a good idea. The Bible is full of people who acted. Remember the will we talked about? Remember? Talked about the hand, talked about the tongue, talked about the heart, talked about the will. The will. The will says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do this thing because I'm not waiting anymore. What happens is we get impatient with what God is doing. There's a story in the Bible about a couple named Abraham and Sarah. Have you heard of them? God said, you're going to have a son. Abraham said, when? God said, when I say. God said, I promise you, you'll have a son. You're not just one, but you'll have so many, they'll fill the heavens. He waited and he waited and he waited and he waited and he waited. And one day he looked in the mirror and he said, I'm old. And Sarah said, we're going to have to do something. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to help God out. Have you ever helped God out? God seems to be running a little late today. You know, you get a little older, you don't think about having kids, you know. You start getting in your 80s and 90s, you're not thinking about having a little bambino, you know? It's not in the forefront of your mind, you know? And so Sarah says, well, why don't you go into my handmaiden and she can conceive and we'll get a kid that way. Abraham says, okay. And he does. And he has a son by this woman. Names the name of his son Ishmael. And by the way, Ishmael's been a thorn in Israel's side ever since. God comes and says, Sarah, you're going to have a child. And she snickers, she laughs. And God says, you're laughing now, but you won't be laughing later, sister. And they do have a son, don't they? And what's his name? Isaac. His name means laughter. There's another story in the Bible of a guy who couldn't wait. His name was Saul, King Saul. Has a big battle, wins the battle, and after a battle, they would always make a sacrifice to the Lord. The thing was, the king wasn't allowed to make the sacrifice. Only the high priest, only the priest, only the prophet could make the sacrifice. And Saul got in a hurry, and he was waiting for Samuel, and Samuel wasn't coming, and he wasn't coming, and he wasn't coming, and he wasn't coming, and so finally he said, all right, I'll do it. I'm the king. I've got authority. It's not a big deal. I've done this before. And he goes in, and by the time he's done, and the whole deal's over, here comes Samuel, and he's like, Saul, what did you do? He says, well, the Lord says we're to make a sacrifice. He said, but you're not supposed to do it. Well, you weren't here. You should have waited. You should have waited. And he says, God's taking the kingdom from you. And he goes to turn. And you remember, Saul grabs Samuel and Samuel turns and it rips part of his garment. And Samuel turns around and he says, and God's tore the kingdom out of your hand.
because you couldn't wait. And I could go on. We get the idea. Trying to hurry God, trying to cut corners, it doesn't go well. You know, the danger for many of us is that we get impatient with God. And it starts in the heart. We start the stewing and the brooding. God, I thought by now I would have. I can't believe that I'm not. And why haven't you? And how come I'm still here? And I didn't see this. And when? And I just start to brew and stew. Just get impatient with God. And what happens is, listen carefully, what happens is that frustration at God, that lava stream, that irritation, that anger, somebody gets in your way, and guess who's getting the volcanic eruption? That person, the little old lady in Publix, right? She's not your problem, is she, church? She's not your problem. And then it's patience returned. Now in the text, Job, I mean, I don't have time to get into all of his deal, but you guys know he had a rough ride. If you don't know that, just read the first three chapters. He's burying his children. He's losing his lands. He's losing his crops. He's losing his cattle. I mean, he's losing everything. And then he's got these great friends that surround him. He's got these awesome guys that are just huge supporters. And then he's got this really loving, helpful, jubilant wife. Curse God and die, Job. Thank you, honey. You are my helpmeet. I love you, right? You look at this whole picture of Job, and you're looking at this guy, and it's like, man, And the Bible says that in all this, Job didn't retaliate. He never cursed God, and he never acted foolishly. Wow. I mean, some of us get in a little fender bender, or we have an issue, or we get sick, or we have a problem. We're like, oh, what now, God? Why? And you know, I've looked. Job's never really given an explanation. That's hard for us, isn't it? I mean, we want an explanation, don't we? Tell me why this is, if I could just understand why. Do you know how many people I've talked to after a funeral? And they've looked at me and they said, if I could just know why now? I think it's one of the most number one questions people will ask me. And they'll always ask me in private. They'll say, hey, pastor. And I'll say, you know, I don't know why God did this right now. I don't know why. And yet Job, in all of this, he said, you know what? I'm going to return this patience. I'm going to be patient with God. How could he do that? Why did he do that? Well, it leads us to this last thought on patience, which is encouragement. And some of you are like, finally, get some encouragement. Okay. Now, look at your Bible, and I want you to see something. You see, he says the early and the latter rain, the rain does come. Then he talks about Job, okay? And he says, you've seen the end of the Lord, that he's very pitiful or patient, and he's what? Tender in his mercy. So before we get to this, I want to give you what I've called a word of warning. Oh, it's very, very easy to get impatient with people, isn't it? Can I get a witness, somebody?
Amen.
Okay. It's very easy. It seems that some people are just easily upset. Have you noticed that some people, and especially in this society in which we live, they're just offense machines. Everything offends them. Can I tell you that it'll be okay if you get offended? You'll be just fine. You'll make it.
Amen.
You'll be fine. Some people just get upset so easy. Some people are just born upset. I've noticed that. They were born upset, and they're upset about everything. Something's always upsetting them. Something's a deal, drama. It's like, oh, my word, I can't even. I don't have the strength. Help me, Lord, right? And it's very easy to get annoyed and angry at people. No, I know you guys are Wednesday night crowds, but you don't have to be so pious about all of this, okay? You ever said this or heard somebody say this? That's just so stupid. Three people have said that in this church. I've been with many of you, and I've heard you say that, and so you should repent now. Just so stupid. They're so inept. They should know better. Oh, it's just, they're idiots. They're so dumb. What is happening? Why would you say that?
I'll tell you why you say that. I'll tell you why I say that. Because we believe we're smarter and more spiritual or just generally all around better than they are. That's why you said it. That's why I said it. And there's a warning for us when we say stupid things like that. Look at verse 9. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. There's a picture here of the judge right there. Like, you know who God is. He's right here. Listen, even if you are smarter than someone else, you're not superior than them. You might be smarter. I'll give you that. You might be. I've met people that are light years ahead of me, super uber smart. Doesn't make them superior to me or you. And just because you may be smarter in one area does not make you smart in every area. Can I ask you a question? Do you have anyone who just annoys you?
Yes.
Shout their name. No, don't shout their name. Don't do that. You might want to. It might feel good. Okay. If you can say it in a foreign language, go ahead. It's fine. All right. But do you have anybody that gets under your skin?
Yes.
Okay. Now, hold on. Just... You know who I'm talking about, right? You know who I'm talking about. You have their face. As soon as I said it, you're like, oh, it's them. Some of you were like, can we go two or three, or because it's just one? Because I got it. Click, click. Okay. Have you ever thought that you are probably that person to someone? Turn to your neighbor and say, it might be you. Go ahead. Just turn to your neighbor and say, it might be you. You turn to your other neighbor and say, it's probably you, right? Okay? It's probably you, okay? Because this is the truth, right? But we don't think in these terms. We don't think we annoy anybody. And that's why when somebody says something to us, we're like, oh, what? Let me just go adjust my halo right quick, you know? It's like, what? Stop. I mean, this is what James is saying. You can't grudge one against, you can't treat other people this way. This is one of my favorite little lines. It says this: to live above with the saints we love will certainly be glory, but to live below with the saints we know, well, that's another story. Right? Now, oftentimes, the pain of a problem is not as hard to endure as the person who causes the pain. Right? It's hard to endure when you've been misunderstood or mistreated or talked about or gossiped about or falsely accused, to be fill in the blank. Forbearance and long suffering is associated with love and the unity of the believers, and we are to be forgiving. And please know that there are times, yes, when sin has to be dealt with, but when you do deal with it, you even do it then with patience. You deal with the sin problem with it. You don't rush in like this Holy Spirit. That's not your job. Here's the point. Problems and people require you to have patience, and if you do not allow the Spirit to ripen the fruit of patience in you, James says right here in your Bible, you're coming under the condemnation of God. And the first thing we do, the first thing I do is grumble and complain. And in James chapter 1, he says, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience, do you see this? Let patience, it's presuming that you have this in you, but you've got to let it work now because you're a believer. You have this patient thing in you because of the Spirit of God. To let means that you have it. You have to let it work. Let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I will say it this way. Endurance and patience are qualities we would like to possess, but we would all like to skip the process that produces them. Anybody with me on that? Sidestep the process. And so please, remember, your trials and difficulties are God's way of producing in us choice fruit for his glory. It can be easy to get upset and irate with God.
Long-suffering is our patient reaction to people. Let me say this again. Long-suffering is our patient reaction to people. Endurance is the ability to stand up under adversity, and perseverance is the ability to progress in spite of it. So long-suffering says I can be patient in my reaction to people. Endurance says I have the ability to stand up in adversity. And perseverance is the ability to progress in spite of them both. And the key is to always remember and believe that God is in control, right? Amen. And he's working all things for our good and his glory. So how do we close this? By understanding the worth of waiting on God. We see it. We started it here. In the end, he says, you've seen the end. That's hard, isn't it? I don't know. I struggle with this. Think about the end, right? I don't mean in a morbid fashion, but the end. The end. God is tender. He's merciful. Job ended up getting it all back. You ever think about your eternity? Heaven? A home, security. Here's what I found out about me. I had a situation happen not too long ago where I discovered that there's certain people I don't mind waiting for. I had an appointment with somebody, and they canceled on me. And then they rescheduled, and when they rescheduled, they were late to that appointment. And do you know that I was perfectly fine with that? I was okay. And yet I found myself getting impatient at my server at dinner. Now, what's the difference? The reason I was okay with my friend being late was because I love and respected him. And if he had to cancel, or if he was late, I figured he had good reason and I didn't mind. It's okay because I love him. Years ago when we were in England, we had a general coming to our church. His name was General Hess, 2-star general, high-ranking guy in the military. He was visiting our church and started to come, had our family over for dinner, very gracious man. And he called one day, and he wanted me to meet him because he wanted me to talk to his son who had just gotten kicked out of college. They were shipping him back to England. And his mom and dad said, "We want you to meet with Pastor Todd." And I needed to go speak to him, the general, before I met with the son. And so when I got there, they said, "He's in a meeting. You're going to have to wait." I said, "Okay. What am I going to tell the general?" "Well, you let him know that I'll, you know, no." And here was the thing. This is the truth. I didn't mind waiting at all. I mean, the general wants to see me. The general. Me and a general, we're golfing Thursday, you know. I mean, like, I'm going to see the general? Like, are you serious? Like, General Hess? Like, what? No way, yeah. But you're going to have to wait. Okay. How long? I don't care. Till he's here, till he comes out. Why? Here's why. Because I held him in high esteem. I was in awe of him and his power and his authority and his rank. And I was just like, man, this is the general. This is a 2-star jet. This is no airman. This is the general. Do you get this? And he wants to talk to me. I'll wait here till 5:30 if I have to. I'll do whatever. I want to see the general. Do you understand that when we are in awe of God and we love him, waiting on him does not cause us to become irritated because we know in the end God is always worth the wait. He's just worth the wait. And so if you're waiting on marriage, if you're waiting on children, if you're waiting on grandchildren, if you're waiting on a job, if you're waiting on your child to change, if you're waiting on whatever it is and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting, it's okay. It'll be all right. Because God's always worth the wait. Amen? And he knows you need patience.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you.
For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.